Good evening and welcome to our final edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show for this season. And we got a good show lined up. We'll be talking basketball along with track and field on this evening's program. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and alongside helping out every week this year has been Ryan Elliott. He's over to our left. Our thanks to Karen Lawrence, and also introduce our new sideline reporter for next year as well. Jenny James is with us, as she'll be with us throughout the fall and winter of next year. So I want to welcome Jenny to the Bearcat Radio Network. And Matt Gorder had a heck of a week last week.
Man, you can't complain. The week was just an extension of the last about month and a half, to be honest with you. It was a great finish, and then you can even go beyond that, and it's just an extension of what the academic year was like. It's been a great run so far. I know spring sports, most of them playing very well, so things are continuing, but so far so good in Bearcat land.
What a great atmosphere in Sioux Falls, South Dakota last week for all three games up there in the Elite Eight. Of course, the Bearcats winning all three and coming back with the national championship, but just couldn't ask for a better three games, a better week really for that basketball team up there, the way things went in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, you know, you turn around after hosting the regional, and you know, so many teams host their regional and have huge crowds, obviously, as a home team. Well, the ones in Sioux Falls anyway, four of them with just four hosting schools up there. But then you end up at the Elite Eight, and a lot of times it's a pretty big distance. It's a ways to travel, and the crowds aren't anywhere near what you experienced as part of your regional tournament. And you take a look at the Bearcat fans and the way they traveled up and filled that place, especially on Saturday. It was just like an extension of that regional tournament. They got great support in the regional tournament at home, and then those fans were able to follow the Cats up north.
And the Bearcats beat three very quality teams up there.
Yeah, I think what played out well when you look at the big picture and what the Cats faced in the championship game, of course, Fairmont State was the best of the teams that they faced, but you had Fairmont State was a good pressing team that was very athletic. First game that they played against St. Thomas Aquinas, they were a good pressing team, maybe not quite as athletic as Fairmont State. Then the second team they played, Lincoln Memorial, very athletic, close to Fairmont State, but not necessarily the pressing team. So they got a little bit of both in those first two games. And so when Fairmont came out with that press and had some very good athletes, Northwest was able to handle it easier than maybe they could have, but they turned that press into a press that forces turnovers to a press that didn't give up easy layups, because they were able to break it. They had a few different plays that they were running to break that press, got some easy looks out of it, and all of a sudden Fairmont thought, well, we can't be giving up easy buckets, and you could tell the look of that press changed pretty quick.
And we'll talk more with Ben McCollum about this as the program goes along, but what a great scouting report and what a great scheme that they had designed to go up against Fairmont.
Yeah, you know, we've seen that throughout the course of the regular season. The big difference is through the regular season, you've got a lot of teams that you face that have the same coach that they previously had, some of the same talent, so you can kind of make some assumptions and you have a feel for what that team's going to do. You have a feel for the speed of certain players, things like that, and their abilities. But the big difference is when you get to the Elite Eight, that's just not there. You're playing three teams that you probably have never faced before, or if you did, it was many, many years ago. You really don't have a lot of game film on them. You know, the best thing that they had for Fairmont State was being able to see Fairmont in person for two games in the quarterfinal and the semifinals. And so it makes it tougher to put together that game plan and put together a good, solid game plan. And I think Northwest did that. They kind of took Fairmont out of their game plan, I thought, and that was because of the great preparation by coaching staff and the ability for the players to pick up on that game plan and do what's in it. You still have to go out there and execute it, and they were able to go out there and execute it to a T.
Yeah, it's one thing to have a game plan, but to go out and execute it's another thing, and just from the opening tip, that game plan was executed almost perfectly.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the tougher of the two, you know, because when you're playing or looking at a team and you're setting up the game plan, you can kind of look at some things two or three different times. Well, when you're out on the floor, you either get it right or you get it wrong and they get an easy layup. You don't get to rewind and take another look at that again, you know. So it's probably a little tougher to go out there, execute that game plan, especially as well as they did.
Team went through the season, 35 wins, 35-1 on the year, and it's not a simple thing to go through a season like that, and especially with the expectations that were on this team from the very start of the year, and they were able to meet those expectations and handle that pressure throughout the season.
Yeah, you know, you look at all the champions from 1957 on in Division II, and I think if I remember right, there were only like four or five that were undefeated. You look at the Division I level, and they're celebrating right now 41 years since the last team went undefeated and won a national championship when Indiana went 32-0, and so that just shows you how tough it is, especially these days when you've got very good players going to schools for reasons more than just basketball. It used to be, oh, they're a great basketball program. I'm not worried about the rest. I'm going to go play great basketball. But student-athletes are looking at schools so much more different than what they used to be. So I think that makes it tougher. And, again, you know, an expanded conference means that you're playing a lot more teams. You know, back in the day, conferences were a lot smaller, so you may play a team two, three times in a season. That doesn't happen necessarily anymore. Some teams you may get to play a couple of times, but not all of them, and so that makes it a little bit more of a challenge to have that good of a record.
And it's hard to sneak up on teams with technology the way it is now as well, where everyone has access to video and access to really a full scouting report, so everyone knows what you got coming in against.
Yeah, that's where it's important to have multiple weapons and multiple ways to be able to beat an opponent. You know, we obviously, when you talk about the technology, what does everybody see? Everybody can see that Zach Schneider can hit the three from anywhere if he has just an ounce of an opening. Well, teams saw that, so they take a guy away, they put him right in Zach's hip pocket, don't even let him get the ball. Well, somebody else is going to beat him, and then when that happens, teams will try to stop that portion of the game, and that's going to leave Zach open again. So it's kind of a trade-off. You may not get every night where you're scoring big and having a huge game, but you know that your teammates will, and when they do, you'll get your chance come down the road.
A lot of good things happening on the Northwest campus with the spring sports underway as well. Of course, football with the national championship. There was one sad note over the weekend, a loss to the Bearcat family, and Todd Froworth, a former Bearcat pitcher, a right-handed submariner who went to the major leagues, spent part of 9 years in the majors with, Philadelphia, Baltimore, where he had his best success, also Boston and California, and he passed away on Sunday due to a battle of cancer, but really sad to see Todd Froworth.
Yeah, especially not just losing a member of the Bearcat family, but just 54 years old. You know, there's still a lot of life left to live, but that C word, it just it gets to you, and unfortunately we lost a good one.
And I remember going down a number of years ago when Gary Gaetti was still in the major leagues playing for the Royals. Froworth was starting that night for Baltimore, I believe, and doing a little bit of a feature about two Bearcats facing each other in Major League Baseball. And there's a couple of good ones there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool right there. I know, you know, with a submariner, I never did face a submariner, but I'm glad I never did because I think it would scare the heck out of me.
All right, so again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Support for the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Stuner Body, screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to track and field. With us on the program at tonight will be head coach Scott Lorick, along with a couple track athletes in Fran Matulka, along with Audrey Wishman. And a little bit later, we'll turn our attention to basketball. Head coach Ben McCullum and senior Zach Schneider will be joining us on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. That's all coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
We're back at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW as we do talk now outdoor track and field. Although, before we get to that, we haven't talked with head coach Scott Lorick of the track and field team since the MIAA championships, the indoor championships, to close out that portion of the season. And did have a few pretty good performances in the MIAA championships to lead into the outdoors, it seemed like.
We did. Our distance medley team on the men's side was able to repeat as conference champions, and we had I think our distance runners had a real fine weekend through that, and that's been good. And there's a lot of other bright spots too throughout the whole meet. So I think we had some young people starting to assert themselves indoors, some freshmen, and I think that's continuing now as we head outdoors.
We've talked how you always build up, from even for the distance runners starting from cross country on, but you're always building up for the outdoor season and the tail end of that. With distant runners, it seems like it's three very different styles, forms of running when you go from cross country to the short indoor tracks to the outdoor track where you have a little bit more space to work with. So are they making some pretty big adjustments as they go through each of the three seasons?
Yeah, it's kind of tough. And the tough thing mentally is, whenever anyone competes, they want to, they want to run the fast. They want to run their best ever. But I think especially with distance runners, they just have to be really patient at sometimes of the year, and they have to understand, we're not going to run real fast, but we're going to run real hard. And that's, and it takes a while to adjust that. I think our older guys, just really have grasped into that and they understand that whole concept. But, yeah, that's tough. You go from cross country, you're going up hills and, through swamps and everything else, and then these little indoor tracks. And then hopefully we're going to hit our speed peak, when we're outdoors in the next month.
When you look at all the events in track and field, in terms of strategy, do distance runners use the most in terms of strategy than any of the other events?
I think they do, just by virtue of the length of what they're doing. But and that's a tricky thing too. Sometimes one of the lessons we constantly have to learn is sometimes you have to do what the race dictates, not necessarily what you just wanted to do, and sometimes you made mistakes with that one, but it is also about being patient. That some days we're going to have opportunities to run real fast, and other times we're just going to have to wait.
Yeah, and now maybe the track's longer, but you start dealing with wind and weather and temperature. I know Coach McCollum always likes to say it's always 72 degrees in the basketball arena or indoors.
Well,
but
now
there's another factor that you guys get to deal with.
Well, it's always 60 degrees on our indoor track, so that's that's nice. But you're absolutely right. I mean, for all the things that sometimes we don't like about indoors, the weather is certainly the bonus. And it's nice, and I think everyone will say that. They go outside and the first thing we have to deal with is oh, there's wind when I'm competing.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. But that's another thing where we're blessed in Maryville, because, I like to say the wind stopped one day and everybody fell over. So, but we... we're kind of, we don't like it, but I mean, we're just used to that, and training in the windy days, and we're on the track if that's happening anyway, and still going after it. So, I think we're more used to it than other people, but sure, we always like the nice days.
We get out to the outdoor season, and you guys a very strong start to the outdoor season. A couple of meets underway, but you started off there at Emporia State and had some good performances, including a school record. That's not a bad way to go.
We did, and that's nice because Nicole Hopkins in the javelin did that, and javelin throwers, they had nothing to do all year till we got outdoors. You know, you can't do anything, doesn't do anything indoors. There's certainly no, you know, nothing to do in the fall. So, you know, for Nicole and Jake Beckemeyer, they've just been training like forever. And, you know, so the first time, you know, they got out of the gates, they both threw really well. And Nicole's been progressing tremendously this year. So, yeah, she just exploded in her very first meet, which I thought she was going to throw well. But that was better than I expected, yeah.
Now, what can they do? Obviously, they're not competing indoors, but what can they do to make sure they're working toward being ready for the outdoor season?
Well, they're just still throwing and training and doing drills and footwork and in the weight room and, you know, all sorts of things. So, you know, I'm going out on a limb here. Maybe it's a little bit like a baseball pitcher. You know, I mean, they can throw in the fall, but, you know, they can do stuff. And then indoors are just trying to do whatever they can to stay up there. And then outdoor season, they finally go, boom, here we go.
Yeah. Any other performances out of that meet from Emporia State that you really like to see for it being the first meet out of the gate?
Well, we put some people in some different events. You know, we ran Ryan Cox in an 800, and Joe Anger went up to a 1500, and those were real good, and Brandon Phipps went down to a 1500. And so we moved people around for some different events for that. But, you know, and we're going to get into, you know, the 400 hurdles, which we have some good ones. Our top 400 hurdles did not run that first meet, but they'll be running this one. Seth Shervington will be running, and Jordan Hammond and Emma Taylor, who are all, you know, among the better people in our whole conference in that event. And there's a lot of good things, but I think things are right now going to really take off.
You guys had an opportunity for your first hosting of an event of a couple coming up this year, but you had the heptathlon, decathlon, and it looked like some more good performances there, especially on the women's side.
Yeah, we had three women go over 4,500 points, which is outstanding. So all three of them were NCAA provisional qualifiers. Having a trio of people with that kind of score, I think is pretty special. There's not, like I've said before, there's not a lot of schools that can have three people at that kind of level. And you know, two of them are here tonight. All three of them were real, real good. You know, I didn't think the weather was going to cooperate. It finally did right before we started. The rain finally stopped. It wasn't ideal conditions, but it was good enough. And I think it just really just shows, you know, how well they trained and how well they were prepared mentally for that first meet to get some, you know, some pretty good marks their first time out the gate.
And talk again. I know we talked a little bit about this last year, but about the scoring, because somebody hears 4,500 points,
yeah,
you know, that sort of thing. They're thinking, well, hold on. We're talking about 7 or 10 events. You know, how does the scoring kind of work generally with those multi-events?
Yeah, there's international tables. So the points that we use, the book, the tables that we use are the same for the Olympics, for the NCAA, you know, for everything. So basically every event goes from over 1,000 points to down to 1 point. So basically you just look into the book, whatever your performance was in that event. So like say Bryn Matalka ran 14.79 in the 100 hurdles. And you look in the book on the tables, and 14.79 is like 863 points. And then each event just kind of goes like that. And so people have good events and bad events. So it absolutely has nothing to do with place. You can not win any event but win the whole heptathlon. And so it is just with points per event. So as we train, as we develop throughout the year, you know, we're very conscious of, you know, high events and low events and things like that, what we have to improve on and things like that. So it's all based off the same tables that are used around the world.
As you mentioned, you know, you can go through and not win a single event but still win an overall meet. When we talked strategy earlier, how does that athlete have to work in their mind in terms of not worrying about necessarily winning or beating particular athletes or that sort of thing as they go through the entire event?
Yeah, it's very internal. And, you know, the tough thing also is mental, because the decathlon is going to go through 10 events. We're going to go through 7 in the heptathlon. And we have a rule with our team that you get 5 minutes after each event to either be angry or be happy. But 5 minutes, and that's it. And then you've got to get ready for that next event. And so you have to be able to flow. And sometimes you're going to have events that don't go so well, and you got to get over it, and you got to move on. And same thing, you may have an event that goes great. It's like, you got to get over that.
Yeah.
You can't just be celebrating. You got to go on. So you really have to keep an even kind of keel. So also we have their personal records in their open events, and then the personal records in the heptathlon. and they're very different, because when you do something as the fourth event rather than the only thing you're doing for the day, say in the high jump, you know, those are very different things. So, but you do have to be very internalized, and they do have to just look at each event, and not really regards to the whole field, because they know what is a good mark for me in this event to move on and get my total.
Obviously, they have to work on each event and be proficient at the event itself. But I would think another thing that may be a challenge is, you know, if you go to a track meet and you see different athletes, they're obviously going to be in different events. They all have their own, a different warm-up routine depending on what sort of event they do. Is that part of the challenge, too, as you go from event to event? I would guess that you've got to have different styles or types of warm-ups for each of those events, and these guys have to go through all that.
It is, and so we do their main warm-up before the whole thing even begins, but then you're pretty much, you get a half hour in between each event. And so, yeah, once you, like the first one is 100 hurdles, and then we're going right to the high jump, you know, we don't have to warm up again, you know, for that at all. We just go right through, get their marks, and start doing their run-throughs. And so only before the big running events like the 200 or the 800 at the end do they have to do kind of a warm-up. But really, they're going throughout the whole day. They're staying warm throughout the whole day, if they can, depending on the weather.
Yeah,
but that's part of the game, too, is figuring out how do you handle the downtime in between events to be competing seven times. So things like nutrition and staying warm and getting out of the wind and all those kind of things are important, because they're going to be out there each day for, you know, 6 hours.
We mentioned a moment ago we're going to talk to a couple of your heptathletes here in just a minute, and you're kind of sharing some stories. It sounds like Brent and Audrey have two very different get to this point and perform and get provisional marks for you in the heptathlon.
Yeah, Audrey, you know, came in as a very good high jumper, and she was an NCAA qualifier last year in the high jump. And you know, we didn't really bring up the heptathlon with her, but you know, over the summer, she kind of said, "Coach, I think I'm kind of interested in this." We kind of toyed with it a little bit, and what we do with all of our heptathletes, if we start it in the fall, we start off with the idea like, okay, we'll start this, we'll start learning the different events, but when we get to December, you know, we're going to sit down, we're going to say, is this a good idea, or should we drop it, or should we continue with it? And Audrey, you know, we're really continuing, but she's so young at it, and, you know, like the javelin and the shot put, two things she's never hardly even seen before, and those events are really taking off for her, and you know, that's exciting and fun to see. But they'll have events that are good and bad and things they like and they have to struggle with more. Bryn, you know, Bryn's a little bit different. I was telling you guys before, she walked into my office in August before her freshman year, and I hadn't been recruiting her, and she said, "Can I be on the track team?" And I said, "Well, you know, are you any good, and what do you do?" And she said, "All right." And so there we go. And so it's a good thing I wasn't out to lunch or something, or else we would have lost our best, you know, one of our best heptathletes and hurdlers.
Well, recruiting is easy. Everybody says it's so hard. All you have to do is sit in your office, right?
You know what? I tell you what, I share some story with these other coaches. Some of my best recruits have been like, you know, I had nothing to do with it. You know, like Lakeisha McKnight, if you remember her.
Yep.
She's a four-time All-American for us in the shot. I didn't recruit her at all. She called me on the phone in May and said, "I got nowhere to go to school. Can I come to Northwest?" I go, "Well, all right, sure. I'll have room for you." It's like, you know, a great recruiting. Just answer the dang phone, you know?
Just don't eat lunch, right?
Yeah,
don't eat
exactly
lunch.
Exactly it.
Is the key to recruiting.
Yeah, answer the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good start to the season. It looks like there's the potential for a lot of good things this year, the way things have started. I know it's kind of a long but quick season is a good way to look at it, but is this the start that you were looking for?
It is. It is. And it seems to go faster every year, and it seems like it takes a long time to get here. And once we get here, boom, I mean, it flies by. The outdoor season is actually quite short. We always tell our kids, man, you just got to be ready, and you got to be peaking like now, because it's going to be over quick.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for stopping by, and we'll check in with a couple of your athletes here in a minute.
Thank you very much.
That is Scott Lorick, the track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State. And again, as we mentioned, we'll hear from a couple of his heptathletes when we come back, and Audrey Wishman and Bryn Matulko. We'll do it right after this timeout. You're listening to the Coach's Show on KXEV KRNW from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville.
supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for KXCV KORNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarryvilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue talking track and field. The outdoor season finally underway, and Audrey Wishman and Bryn Matulka joining us from the Northwest Women's Track and Field team, both heptathletes for the school. And so far, so good, I would guess. The event here in town seemed to go very well. Bryn, we'll start with you. How'd you feel about your performance here in town last weekend?
Overall, I thought it was pretty good, especially for the conditions that the weather was. Cold, rainy, but we still went out and competed.
A little different than having to be indoors and working out indoors for the last several months.
It's very different.
Audrey, what about you? You guys both had provisional marks, obviously, but Audrey, how did you feel about your performance?
Yeah, I was really happy with how everyone performed, but I especially kind of went into it. I just wanted to do my best in everything, and the heptathlon's a special event. You don't have to PR in every event. You can just kind of do medium or pretty average in everything and still come out on with a really good score. So that was really exciting.
Does that almost make it a little more relaxing in each of the events that you don't have that individual event pressure?
It definitely is. I mean, I'm still a really competitive person, so of course I want to do my best in everything, but not having that pressure to do your absolute best every time is definitely a lot easier on me.
And, Bryn, let's talk about, obviously, there are seven different events in there. What's your favorite compared to your least favorite event that you compete in?
Well, this is easy. Well, I was always a hurdler, so hurdles are my strong point, which is good because that's weighted, like, heavily in the scores. And my, well, weakest event is high jump. So that's easily my least favorite one.
Yeah, so. And Audrey, you've got the high jump background, but what's your favorite, least favorite?
Yeah, my favorite's definitely going to be high jump. I love the high jump, open high jump, and even in the hep, and it's also a heavily scored event too, so that's really good. Out of all of the events, I love javelin too. It's kind of a new, something you don't really see all the time, and so I really enjoyed learning that, picking it up.
And, you know, javelin's not one of those that you really compete at the high school level in, so what's it been like learning the javelin for both of you, you know, being fresh as you get into college?
Well, for me, it was kind of fun just because I played softball, so that also was kind of adjustment because you're not supposed to throw it like a softball, which I still struggle with, but I mean, overall, it's still really fun. It's like throwing some spears and stuff around.
And what about you, Audrey?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun just learning a new event that you had no idea how to do before. You could tell people that, oh, yeah, like, this is what I do, and they're, you know, really surprised, like, oh, I've never even heard of that before. So, but it's been a lot of fun learning how to do it.
Bryn, talk a little bit about your background. Coach was just telling us how, you know, you walked in and said, hey, I'd like to be a part of the team. And what got you to that point where you wanted to walk into coach's office and say, I want to compete?
Well, my senior year, I won state. So, I mean, that was a really big confidence booster there. And then my brother kind of did some convincing because I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to. But he convinced me, so I was like, okay, I'll walk in. And I was like, hey, I'd like to run. They're like, okay, yeah, we'd love to have you.
That couldn't have been an easy thing to do, though, to walk into a coach's
office. No, I was really nervous. I was like, I know you don't know me, but I'd like to run for you.
Well, it sounds like it's worked out so far. Audrey, I know with your last name, Wishman, it's obviously very familiar to anybody who has followed Bearcat track and field. But talk about what got you into wanting to be a heptathlete. We talked about your background in high jump, but why become a heptathlete?
Yeah, well, last year, my sister has obviously been doing this event for a really long time, and she is part of my motivation to do it, her passion for all the events and how well she excelled in everything. But for me personally, even in high school, I loved doing all the different types of events. I wanted to do, you know, everything that was different and just trying out new things, and I love every part of, you know, track and the field and just the different parts of it. So I thought that it would be a fun thing for me to do, and my sister Chloe really supported my decision, and so I just went up to the coaches and asked if they thought it would be, if it would be a hard adjustment or if it would be good, and so we just kind of tried it out, and I really liked it. So
that's got to be one, as competitors, one of the things that's neat about it is because a lot of times, you know, you're limited in the amount of events you're going to participate in if you kind of specialize, but you guys know, you know, you're going to get seven events, that sort of thing. Does that make it more fun when you're going into a track meet knowing you get to compete as often as you do in a meet?
Yeah. It's just kind of difficult for when we have, like, regular meets because we know that we're in so many events. So it's like, okay, like, we're going to do, like, four or five events like this meet, and a lot of times they're, like, overlapping in regular meets. So that's one, like, good thing about, like, doing an actual multi-meet is that you know, like, okay, like, this is a set thing. We have, like, half hour between each, so you can, like, mentally prepare yourself to go out and compete in each one.
You know, up until recently with Coach Lurick, there weren't too many opportunities for track and field to compete at home. You guys obviously just had this event, and then coming up is the NSIC MIAA Showdown, a chance to be at home. How important is that to get an opportunity to be right here in Maryville and be able to compete?
Well, last year we had three home meets, and it was really nice. It was my first year, and so I don't really know any different, but it's just a lot less like nerve-wracking, and it's your home turf, and you kind of feel like, you know, like this is where we always practice, so you know how well you can compete there. But
is obviously people who may not know track as well, I think, well, it's a track, it's 400 meters long, it's flat, but do different tracks, different stadiums, different venues feel different? I mean, can you be more comfortable even though the makeup is generally the same?
Definitely. The surfaces of the track can play a difference, whether they're older or newer, so...
Especially in indoor. The indoor facilities, all the tracks are kind of different sizes, and the curves are different, and the straights are longer or shorter, and plays a really big part in the season.
And some of those even have banked turns, so don't they? That would be strange.
Those fancy ones.
That would really be strange. I can imagine as a kid, you know, doing that, you think you're running faster around the corner, but when you're actually competing, I don't know, I'd have to be a little bit different.
It feels like it when you are.
Well, good start to the season. I know you guys have a lot of goals. You kind of hit one of those early goals with the provisional, but good luck to you through the rest of the year.
Thank you.
That is Bryn Matulka and Audrey Wishman, a couple of track and field athletes for Northwest Missouri State. And when we come back, we're going to talk basketball. We'll do it right after this at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips or at nvb.com or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we continue on, we're now talking with the head coach of the national championship Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And, Ben, how good does that sound?
Well, that sounds really nice. You know, I think it sounded nice when we went into the national championship and said, oh, Northwest advanced to the national championship. I was like, boy, that has a ring to it. I think that was one of my quotes. And obviously, becoming the national champions is nice, exciting, and I was glad that our kids got the result of all the hard work.
And let's just talk about the week last week, starting off with your win in the Elite Eight against St. Thomas Aquinas, and kind of set the tone a little bit against a team that was a pretty good press type of team, but you handled that pressure well and just took care of business on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think the press that St. Thomas Aquinas had really helped us in the championship. I think that theirs was a little bit, they gambled a little bit more, really, really trying for steals. Probably gave you easier stuff on the backside of the press. But they were very similar in that, you know, they would trap you after you. If they didn't trap you right away, they were going to trap you as you were dribbling up the floor. They did have a 1-2-2 in. They never used it. And then the other difference, though, is Fairmont would trap make or misses. And so, but, yeah, I thought it warmed us up for that game. And it was nice to see other teams that don't scheme you, you know, because we played three NSIC teams in the regional tournament. Every game was a different defense, and it was a different defense from what the team had been playing for the last few games. And so we were able to go against a team that didn't scheme, didn't probably scout quite as much, and it was very refreshing for our kids.
Then in the semifinals, we went over at Lincoln Memorial, very athletic team there, a little different type of team what you saw in the opener in the Elite Eight. Just talk about the Lincoln Memorial win and some of the things that came out of that game for you.
They were extremely talented. I mean, they were a talented bunch. They had multiple post players, multiple guards, all of which could shoot, score, drive. I mean, they were good, super talented. You know, I think the thing with them is our job going in was to keep them off the offensive glass, and you know, we did. I mean, they had zero offensive rebounds at halftime. They had a lot of trouble in the second half with our ball screens. We had an offense in, oh, we probably put it in about a month and a half ago. And about halfway through that second half, we went to it. We're like, well, let's try this offense and see if it works. And we set them double ball screens. We set them throughout possessions, but we don't constantly set them. We have an offense that we constantly set them, and that's what we went to. And they had a lot of trouble matching up out of that. And Zach got free a few times, and then Justin made the right reads to the big a few times, and so it was nice to be able to get a win there.
And you go into the national championship game with Fairmont State, a team that both of you throughout the year kind of shared that number one ranking in the NABC top 25 poll. Obviously, Northwest had it for a long, long time during the regular season, but kind of appropriate that the two teams that have been considered the top two teams in the nation were the ones that ended up scoring off in the championship game.
Absolutely. And, you know, I hate to say this, but when we lost to Southern, we had Fairmont State tweeting at our basketball account the excitement of us losing, and hey, you don't belong number one anyway, blah blah blah. I said, all right, well, I hope we don't meet later. But yeah, you know, we watched the Final Four game, and we watched them play Bellarmine, and Bellarmine's really good, and we hadn't won yet. And I said, well, I sit next to Christian Phelps, and I said, well, Christian, if we get past Lincoln Memorial, it'll be nice to finish runner-up this season, because they looked that good against Bellarmine. I said, oh, my, how are we going to do this? And he, you know, Christian comes back with me. Oh, we'll be okay, Coach. You'll come up with a good press breaker. We'll be okay. Yeah, okay, Christian. So, you know, and then obviously we won, and I'm like, all right, well, let's see what we can do. And so we watched on film, and we saw some things that we thought would work. that we thought we could slow the tempo, and then defensively some things that we thought we could do to help slow their offense down quite a bit. And it's just kind of up to our kids to execute, and our kids did a great job of executing.
Yeah, that's one of the things Matt and I were talking about at the start of the show. Is it's one thing to have a good game plan going in, but it's another thing for the team to go out and execute that game plan. And I really thought from the opening tip, your team executed a game plan about as perfect as the team could.
Yeah, no, that's what I watched, and I watched. It was interesting because I always get on them about, hey, jump towards the basketball, towards it, not back, jump towards it. Make sure you get rips on their drives. Make sure you throw your hands on closeouts. Make sure you get deflections on every pass. Make sure you do all this, that, and the other thing. They literally did it the whole game. We hadn't done that all year. I mean, we played well throughout the season, but it was every single time their man passed, they jumped to the ball. They were in the gaps. They were exact right positioning, and it was like, now why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this the whole year so I didn't have to sit here and stress out? No, it was fun. The kids executed. Again, they asked me at halftime, how'd you break the press? And, you know, I think they were looking for some, like, big-time coaching answer, like, I'm such a good coach. We have this press breaker that no one's ever seen. And I said, well, I said, I don't really know. I said, I think our guys used a lot of pass fakes. You know, I think they met each pass, and I think they were strong with the basketball. I said, you know, the stuff you learn in first grade is kind of what they did. That's pretty much what they did. It's pretty simple philosophy.
And I think there's a point in the first half when just watching Fairmont, the expression on some of the Fairmont players' faces are going down the floor, just like, holy crap, we're in a heck of a game here. I think it kind of caught them a little bit by surprise, just the intensity that Northwest came out in.
Yeah, I actually, it was probably a minute and a half into the game. And, you know, you never tell your kids or your assistants this, but about a minute and a half into the game, I kind of look down at their bench, and you look at their kids, right then, I knew that as long as we didn't screw this up, we're going to win this game. Because you just saw it in their eyes. They were shocked. They were shocked. They were questioning things. They kind of lost their little swag that they had the previous game. And that only took us a minute and a half to do that. And I was sitting there, boy, I hope I don't screw this thing up, because we got them on the ropes right here. And sure enough, we were able to get it done.
And it just seems like so many different aspects of that game were big. But the way you guys were crashing the boards hard, both on the offensive and defensive boards, seemed to really be an intimidation factor as well, I thought, in the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hit you. I mean, that was our goal. They're more athletic than us. We thought we can be more physical with them. Then you got to hit them. You got to hit them on every defensive rebound, every offensive rebound. You crash. You're physical. You go after every loose ball, and you know, you essentially bully the bullies, and that was our objective.
How about the game that? Well, you can just go down the line of the different players, but Chrissy and Dale really came up big inside for it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I mean, Pitts had a really good game in the championship, and so did a lot of our other people. But he had 18 rebounds in the national championship game. Like, I question whether that's happened very much at any level. I mean, that was impressive. I mean, and he was going up. Shoot, he was above the darn backboard a few times getting rebounds. I mean, he was unreal in that game. And you could kind of see it. You could kind of see it in his eyes, too. You know, he had a rough game the game before down the stretch, and you could just see the want to win. I mean, he had no concern about anything at all other than winning that basketball game. And you could just see the fight in his eyes, and he competed.
And just for the entire team, through that focus, that look that I think every player that got into that ballgame had a look in their eye that this was going to be the game.
Oh, yeah. No, kids were focused, and I was proud of their effort. You know, I'm lucky to be able to have coached them and be able to have coach those good of kids and that good a team. I mean, how much is this going to happen? I know. I was just talking to. I'll give him a shout out. I was just talking to Rick Carter a couple minutes ago, and you know, it's interesting because you get somewhat spoiled with athletics, and we've had as good a probably football run as there has been at any level. I think the big difference is not that it's easier to win in football. It's that the best team wins the championship in football most of the time, meaning there's not those violent upsets that you see. That's why NCAA tournament time is so fun for the fans to watch. It's like, you know, it's so enjoyable to see South Carolina, the 7th seed, make it. Well, they're not the best team in the tournament. They're not the best four teams in the tournament either. They played the best games, so they got to the Final Four. But for this season, I thought that we were the best team. But I've also thought that we were the best team for a couple seasons prior to that. You know, I've thought that we were the best team in the tournament. Last year, I thought we got beat by the better team. I thought Augie was a little bit better. The year Central beat us, we were better than them, but they beat us in the tournament. And so, you know, it's to win a national title in basketball, to be 35-1, I'm not sure that anyone can really fathom how much that means. And I mean, I hate to say it. I don't know that I'm ever going to be 35-1 again. I mean, we may win another national title at some point in our careers. But it's not like you just, hey, let's just go back and win another one. You know, it's not that easy.
No, not that easy. Huh?
No. So anyway, I'm just trying to explain it to the football fans.
I think a good way to look at that, too, is when you look at the run through the regional all the way to the Elite Eight into the championship game, probably the one team that gave you as much fits in during that run was Upper Iowa there in the first round of the region.
Should have lost that game. First round of the national tournament, probably should have lost that game. Yeah, I mean, there you go. That's what it is. And is Upper Iowa, could they have competed at the Elite Eight? Absolutely not. No. They were a bad matchup for us first round. And that's what you saw. We had a bad matchup first round, and that's the basketball tournament setting where, you know, it starts to go and the game starts to go so fast. And, you know, as a coach, you really can't control a lot. And as a player, you can't control if you miss or make shots. And so you're really at the mercy of making sure that you get O boards, D boards, increasing your possessions, turnovers, and hoping that the officials are on their game. And so, that's the prime example of why the tournament's so fun.
Obviously, a national championship game, there's so much you have to concentrate on during the ball game and focus on while it's going on. But during that game, were you able to just kind of take a deep breath at one point and just talk about how much fun that the run's been and just being able to compete in a game of that magnitude?
Yeah, I probably didn't think about the run as much as I made sure that you do have fun and you scan the crowd and make sure that you remember how much fun it is to play in a national title game, and it is. It's as fun as everybody makes it cracked up to be. I mean, it's fun. I mean, you go out there and the crowd's there, and it's the intensity's just through the roof. Both teams want to win so bad, and you know, as far as being able to relax during the game, the national title game, I was probably more relaxed in the national title game than I was for any game in that regional. That regional was not relaxing. It was fun. It was a blast. Wasn't relaxing. I mean, it was, oh my, those were tough. Upper Iowa, Augie, and then Southwest Minnesota. Oh my, those games were tough. And you know, once we got there, I think our kids relaxed, and so did I.
As far as the second half goes, at what point in the second half did you begin to get a little bit comfortable from the standpoint that thought you were going to be national champions?
Yeah, when the buzzer sounded, yeah. That's it. At the very end of the game is when I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
No, Austin said, Coach Meyer, with 30 seconds to go, he says, hey, we want to call a timeout. Let's give the seniors some love. And we were up 12, and I go, look, we've made it this far. I'm not going to screw this up right now. I'm going to win a national title, and the seniors aren't going to get the love coming out of the game. So, you know, I was like, we're not screwing this thing up right now. We're making darn sure that we win this game, and sure enough, we did, and it was obviously fun.
Then we are talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. We'll come back, talk a little bit more with Ben before we talk with Zach Snyder on the program tonight as well. Back with more from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company, Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We continue to talk with the head coach of the national champion Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team. And, Ben, let's just talk about the atmosphere as well at the Pentagon up in Sioux Falls this past weekend. What a great turnout of Northwest fans that made it to the game. We kind of commented that it had been a great day to be a burglar in Maryville because there had been a lot of homes where nobody was home making that trip up to Sioux Falls. But you just really have to love the type of passion and the way the fans turned out for you up there.
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, it was sold out, and I would say that 95% of the crowd was green. And they were cheering the whole game, and it made for a great atmosphere. I mean, early on especially, we made that big run, and the crowd was as loud as it was at home for those regional games. You know, it's really nice when you go and the crowd cheers. You know, that's what I mean, it's always nice to play in front of a big crowd, but a big crowd that's engaged and cheers, that's fun. And for the whole tournament run, we had fans that were engaged. They cheered. They stood up. They were into the game, and it made it a fun environment for everybody.
Now that you've had a couple of days, and I imagine it's going to take a few more days even than this to already step back and look at everything that was accomplished out of this year, including the national championship. But when you look at so many things that this team was able to accomplish this year, what does this team mean to you?
Well, they mean a lot. You know, I think it's. For me, it's one of those deals that it's a fun run, a fun team, and the thing with me though is, and the way our program is it continues, and our culture continues, and what we've tried to do for kids once they again leave Northwest is always been our goal. We don't, you know, we use it in recruiting, and we actually do mean it. The program continues, the culture continues, all those things that are so special about Northwest basketball continues. And that little run within it, obviously, was extremely enjoyable and a fun team. And, you know, you separate the team somewhat. You remember this team for that and this team for this. And, you know, I think with this one, this team was pretty hungry. I mean, they weren't very difficult to motivate. You know, I can recall the preseason, our big thing was we had a lot of we didn't have any bad days as a group. We never had bad days. We always had good days. The issue we were having early in the season is we always had good days. And what we always talked about in the preseason was good is the enemy of great. And we wanted great. We wanted great workouts. We wanted great days every day. And so that was our biggest challenge was, hey, let's try to go from good to great. And they obviously did.
And one thing you talked about with this group, too, is just how much you enjoyed going to practice every day.
And that's with every group, but, you know, in particular this group, just because you don't have to motivate them. You know, you just come in and you know they're ready. Like, I'm not, oh, I've got to deal with this kid today. Oh, I've got to get him going somehow. Oh, this, that, the other thing. It's like I go in and I know they're going to give me effort, and it's fun to coach. I get a coach. You know, I'm not babysitting. I'm not doing those things. And you know, obviously with this group, they were extremely fun to be around, extremely fun to hang out, had a lot of good personalities, a lot of people that were in good moods a lot. It's interesting. I think you lose sight of the fact of people that are in good, like, it's nice to be around people that are in good moods. Like, I think you take that for granted sometimes where, you know, if you're around people that are in bad moods all the time, that's a problem. But you know, with our kids, we didn't have anybody that was moody. Kids were always upbeat, happy, and that's
you know, kind of what we recruited to.
Boy, and this team has so much they can look back on. Early on, setting the mark, which actually went back to the year before, for consecutive wins in the MIAA play, another regular season conference title, another tournament conference title. You win the Central Regional title and national title. Just one thing after another, this team can look back on with a lot of pride for this season.
Absolutely, yep, and they will. And you know, I would guess that their memories of earning that will probably trump the trophies and the championships, and the relationships that they've built obviously will trump any championship that we won, and that's what makes it fun. And it sounds cliche, but it is true. I mean, our kids develop very strong bonds with each other, and obviously you saw the result of that. I mean, that's what you're seeing as results. We were pretty darn good for three seasons. You know, I mean, we were right there to win national titles for three prior seasons, you know, to this one, and this team just had enough juice to kind of get over the top, and had enough luck too to get over the top.
How much does it mean to you as well when you look into the crowd and see a lot of your former players from the past two or three years are there, and having a chance to share in that this past weekend?
Well, that's a blast because you know they really laid the groundwork for this, and we say culture wins. We've developed a culture that we don't come in and I don't make rules. Like, we come in and we have no rules. Be on time. That's it. You know, don't be an idiot. You know, I don't have a guideline of rules that, you know, obviously we have consequences for certain actions. It's not like it's just, you know, just complete freedom. But the culture sets the rules. This is how we act in this program. And that culture and how the older kids act, everybody else falls in line. And so it kind of sets the rules without saying on a piece of paper, do this, do that, do this, do that. There's expectations there, and that's what a culture is, and that's what we hope to continue here at Northwest.
Along those lines, we'll be talking with Zach Snyder coming up next. Just talk about what he has meant to your program.
Oh, he's meant a lot. I mean, he I think, you know, his addition, we were making good strides, and then his addition, his freshman season, that stretch four, that 6-7, that can guard 4 and 5. You know, I think that really changed who we were as a team. I think that really put us over the top as far as how good we could be. I think as time progressed, he became a better and better leader. You know, he always led by example, where he was always ready to go. Even I can remember on his visit where he did a little shooting workout before the thing, and I thought, man, what's this goofball doing? And then I realized he was probably just getting loose because of trying to get the old knees greased up. So, but no, he's. I mean, he has. I don't. I mean, I've had a lot of kids. I've coached a lot of years now. I'm not old, but I've coached a lot of years, and I haven't had anybody that's been ready at his level since I've been a coach. You know, he hasn't had a bad day since he's been at Northwest, and I don't even remember the amount of times that I've yelled at him. I can't even recall. Probably towards the end of this season, I probably got on him more. Oh, it was one game. I think Central. Oh, he was just having a tough game defensively, and that was probably one of them. What are you doing, Zach? He says, I don't know. I suck defensively today. I already told Andy that or something like that. It was pretty comical. But, no, he's hasn't had any bad days. I mean, every single day he's ready to go. Every single day he's ready to compete. Always focused. And it's you know, it's one of those qualities that's taken for granted, because you see the Justin Pitts. You see the Chris Endows getting dunks and the offensive rebounds. But you don't see every single practice somebody being ready to go and me being able to count on, you know, I mean, coming out of the game, like, has he come out of the game all season outside of when we're up 20? I mean, there's no ever, and that, I'm going to miss that, you know, because I'll sit there with Austin, hey, get him out, get this kid in, get him. I didn't say that about him. Never have. Justin's on that level, you know. It's like, I don't consider taking him out because I know he's ready to go. I'm never concerned, and that's a good thing for a head coach to have.
Well, Ben, this year, like every year, working with you guys, you really make Matt and I's job so much easier from game to game, and everything you guys do to help us out, and certainly appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you traveling, and we need to get back to a national title game so you can call the game. I mean, you were there at our 10-16 seasons, our 12-15, going out to Hayes. My goodness, and then we couldn't get you on the championship game.
Well, bad week to get a little bit of an illness, I guess.
I hear you. Well, thanks a lot, John.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot. When we come back, we'll talk with senior forward for Northwest Missouri State, Zach Snyder. That's coming up right after this on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're going a little long this evening. For some reason, we have a little bit to talk about on the program tonight. A reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. Joined now by Bearcat senior forward Zach Snyder. Zach, I don't believe you can wrap up a career any better than what you wrapped up this year. Another conference regular season title, a conference tournament title, and then cap it off with a national championship. Hard to beat that.
Yeah, I mean, coming in this summer, that's pretty much what I pictured my senior year going like, and just to have it go the way it did is really special, and I'm going to have that for the rest of my life, just knowing that I won my last game, and that's awesome.
How were you guys able to stay as focused as you were, really, from the opening game against Upper Iowa down at St. Joseph to the very end? It just seemed like this team stayed focused on each particular game better than I think I've ever seen a squad do. How were you guys able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a combination of the players and the coaching staff being so hungry. I mean, just the last 3 years, obviously, how we lost those last 3 years, two of them to the eventual national champions, really just kept us so driven and so focused that we knew every day we had to come in and get better and better, and we did a really good job of doing that.
I guess a lot of it also starts in the off season or in the summertime, even getting ready for this year.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the core guys, recall specifically me, Justin, Devontae, and Woods were all here doing 6 a.m. workouts Monday through Friday pretty much the entire summer, and all those other guys that went home, I know they were working. I was confident in that, and just really awesome to see all that hard work pay off, obviously, because it's tough to get up at 5:30 in the morning when everyone else is sleeping in, obviously, in the summer, and just really glad it played off.
Have you had a chance to kind of look back at all you were able to accomplish this year? I know it's only been a couple of days since the championship, but have you had a chance to maybe look back a little bit and just think, man, we were able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really looked at the big picture, obviously, like the last 4 years, but I've relived that game on Saturday quite a few times. You know, obviously, it's easy to do through social media these days, and I've gone back and watched the broadcast twice already, and just seeing the whole atmosphere and the way we played and wrapped up the season was awesome. And, yeah, I've definitely relived it quite a few times.
How much fun was that Saturday to be playing in that national championship game?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Obviously, I think I underestimated the crowd a little bit. They really showed out great. And it feels like so much more than what they announced, the 3,500. It feels like such a big-time event just because of that Pentagon and how cool of a place it is. And so just to play in front of that environment for my last game was so special.
Was it a help that you guys have been up there a couple times already in the regionals to be able to play on that floor against teams that had never been up there?
Yeah, I think just any level of comfortability that you can have gives you an advantage. And I think, obviously, it's not the whole thing. The best team's going to win pretty much no matter what. And but, yeah, I think definitely just in our shoot-arounds and just knowing that we've been there before definitely helped us calm down a little bit.
I talked to Ben a little bit about this, but he just felt early on that things were going well and that had a good feeling about the outcome, even early in the game. At what point out on the floor, did you sense that, hey, this whole thing might be a reality for you?
I mean, honestly, after that 7-0 run, me and Justin kind of looked at each other, and we were like, these guys are not ready for what we're about to bring to them. And obviously, you know, you still got a 40-minute game ahead of you after that, or 35 minutes, or however long it was in the game. But we could tell kind of right away that how we threw that first punch, and obviously we didn't get the knockout until probably Chris's big shot. But, yeah, I was pretty confident going in.
And how about Justin out there? Obviously, every game you see a little something different out of Justin, but throw in a little bit behind the back pass and a few other things in that game.
Yeah, I think, everyone played really well, obviously, but I think the biggest wow moment from that game for him was that block where he just hung. I went back and watched it on film, and I swear he just hung in the air for a couple seconds, and then just, it was kind of disrespectful the way he did. Just swung through, swatted that. Yeah, that was the biggest wow moment, but just watching him and his composure was also huge. Just how he handled their pressure, it was really special.
And really, everyone came out and contributed one way or another. They just all got on the floor in that game, it seemed to me like.
Yeah, obviously Chris sticks out just with a stat line of 18 boards. I don't know if that's ever been done in a championship game, but, I mean, from the start, everyone was ready to go. I saw it in warm-up, saw it in the locker room before, and I was pretty confident when I saw how ready everyone was.
To be able to do it with this group of guys, too, what's that mean to you?
It means the world, obviously. My senior year, couldn't go out any better. And just so happy for everyone, just how it's – we've talked about a lot, obviously, just how the last 3 years ended. And for all that hard work to pay off, like Max said, the best team doesn't always win. And that's why basketball is so heartbreaking sometimes. But I think for sure the best team won this year, and it's really gratifying just to see it pay off for our guys and all the hard work we put in.
You've had not only a lot of team success, but individual success, setting some marks out that are going to be tough to be broken. The MIAA with the three-pointers made, just a lot of different things. What, from your career, what really stands out for you?
Just consistently, honestly, that's probably my biggest thing. I just want to be remembered as the same guy every day, and obviously, I think I was that. Obviously, the three-point records are what sticks out. The MIAA one, career MIAA, will be one that I look back on that's pretty special. And probably that one day in Central Oklahoma, I'll look back on that, too, where I just was unconscious, really. All those records will be great to look back on in the next couple of years.
And also another mark that I think speaks to you a little bit from the team aspect. I think going through probably the most wins of any senior going through the program. And obviously it helps when you play as many postseason games as you've been able to rack up some wins there as well. But that has to be something that's really meaningful for you.
Yeah, obviously that's a team accomplishment. And I wouldn't be able to do that without everyone, obviously. And I mean, I'm going to have it for about 365 days or however long it is till Brett and Justin break it. So I'm glad it's going to them, because it's going to them, obviously, and those are two guys that I came in with, and I'm just glad I was able to go on the ride with them.
Well, what's the future look like for you?
I'm going to play a lot of golf in the next couple weeks, I can tell you that. I can't wait to get out to Mazingo, but I'm going to look into playing pro ball overseas. I know a decent amount of people that are over there, so I'll do my research, but if I don't do that, I want to get into coaching, so.
Well, you've got some good coaches to emulate here at Acorn through the program here at Northwest.
Yeah, for sure. I'll go to those guys a lot, and hopefully I can be on the bench if I decide to go that route. And I wouldn't want to be on that ride with anyone else.
Tell you what, Zach, it's been a pleasure watching you through all your years at Northwest Missouri State. And, again, a great way to wrap things up with the national championship.
Yep, no better way. Appreciate it, John.
All right, that's Zach Snyder with us on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're back and wrap things up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering automatic entrances, electronic security systems, as well as service and repair locking, hinging, and closer hardware. More at 582-3131 or in store at 5th and Buchanan or at maryvilleglassandlock.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Services, offering services from athletic training to physical therapy to total joint replacement. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coach Show. As we wrap things up, a little bit of overtime for tonight's program, but Mag Order. It's not often we have a national championship to talk about in basketball.
You know, it's not too often we've seen 36 basketball games from one team, so that definitely warrants a little bit of overtime for sure. But, you know, I've asked a lot of people because I don't know the answer myself. Do we know how lucky we are right here in Maryville, Missouri, Northwest Missouri? I don't know if it's...